This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some not-so-nice predictions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A congressional oversight panel is out with a warning today. The government program to help homeowners avoid foreclosures, known as the Home Affordable Modification Program, HAMP, is falling short. The panel is chaired by Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren, and Professor Warren is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why isn't this plan working very well?
Well, we think that it has three basic problems. Scope. It's targeted at a housing crisis as it existed 6 months ago. Scale. It's not moving into big enough numbers fast enough. And permanence. We're concerned that people may go through the program but actually be redefaulting in big numbers down the line.
Why wasn't the government more aggressive about tackling the foreclosure problem? I mean, we knew that the recession was setting in and unemployment would rise when the financial crisis hit. It seems like rising foreclosures were being predicted even back then.
You know, it's true. We did our first report 6 months ago and came to the conclusion that there was a crisis then, and quite frankly, it's only gotten worse. I think part of the problem is that there's been a kind of a, let's put a lot of energy into figuring out who's a deserving homeowner and who's not. And, you know, I understand that impulse. But in the meantime, the fire is spreading and costing everybody in America a lot of money.
And what's your recommendation for improvements to this program? And what do you say to Republicans who say no good money after bad money?
Well, I wish it were good money after bad money that we were talking about here. I see the appropriate way to understand this really is the fire metaphor. Our neighbors' homes are on fire. And we can sit around and talk about how the fire got started, and we can talk about, you know, which ones we think we ought to save. But the truth is, if we don't do something, it's going to burn down the rest of us. So this is really about trying to find the most cost-effective way to save the economy. And if that means trying to save some of these homeowners and keep good people in their homes and keep communities intact, then that's what we ought to be doing.
Professor Elizabeth Warren, chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Let's check numbers. Right now, shares are a little lower in Europe, under 0.25%. Wall Street yesterday, another day of gains. The S&P added 0.75%. The Dow was up 61 points to close at 97.86. In Asia, stocks were higher. Chinese shares shot up almost 5%. Today, there could be a deal for General Motors to sell its Hummer brand to the Chinese firm Tenzong. GM, by the way, says it set a sales record for its cars in China in September, up 55% for the first three quarters of 2009. In a new report, Britain has pulled ahead of the United States as the world's most financially developed country. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
The World Economic Forum has named Britain as the world's top dog in finance. This in spite of the damage caused by the crisis. Damien Rees of the Daily Telegraph in London says the forum is looking beyond the crisis. It's taking into account the breadth, scale and sophistication of financial services that countries have to offer.
There's a huge foreign exchange. There's a huge derivatives industry here. They're run very successfully. They're world leaders. And that's why Britain has overtaken the United States as the world's most developed financial nation.
He says the U.S. has sunk into third place because it's been hit disproportionately hard by the weakness of its investment banks. Australia, which is still benefiting from the commodities boom, came second ahead of the U.S. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunguard.com.
Last year, maple syrup producers in the United States turned out more than 2 million gallons of the sticky stuff. Demand for syrup continues to grow, but there are only so many mature maple trees to tap. So one researcher developed a better way to get it. From Vermont Public Radio, Ross Sneed reports.
Tim Perkins watches as a factory production line turns out what looks like a series of toy rockets. A plant biologist, Perkins designed the contraption at the University of Vermont. It's not a plaything, but it could bring a whole lot of joy to maple syrup makers. His creation is a nylon spout about 2 inches long that fits onto the end of a traditional maple syrup tap.
With the valve in here, sap can't move backwards. Keeps the tap hole clean and allows the sap to run longer in the springtime.
Maple sap only runs when temperatures drop below freezing at night and then warm above freezing during the day, a season of about 4 to 6 weeks in spring. Perkins spouts help keep the sap flowing during that period because they prevent tap openings from scabbing over. In field tests, the new devices allowed syrup makers to roughly double production. Perkins is working to sell the spouts with a company called Leader Evaporator Works in Swanton, Vermont. Company Vice President Bruce Gillen says he had orders for 3 million spouts before the factory even started churning them out.
It could be one of the biggest things that's happened with the maple industry.
Gillen expects orders to reach 20 million by next season. Production of maple syrup has grown by about 50% over the past few years as consumers in Japan and Europe develop a sweet tooth for it. At the same time, many food producers are starting to use it as an alternative to sugar. Catherine Stevens directs marketing for a group of syrup producers in Vermont.
It is now being viewed as an all-natural sweetener to use in recipes that everyone is cooking with.
Prices are now about $10 a gallon higher than they were 2 years ago. Damian Brannon crosses a cow pasture to get to his maple forest in Fairfield, Vermont. He's one of thousands of syrup producers in New England.
I think we can produce a lot of it. I think if they market it right, we can't produce enough to supply the markets.
He'll sure try, though. He tested the new spouts on a quarter of his 6,000 taps last spring. Next season, he'll put the new spouts to work on all of his trees. In Colchester, Vermont, I'm Ross Sneed for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day, have a couple of pancakes, and hope you have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.